Tonight, I'm going to be preaching and teaching about this concept of association. Association. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. Verse number 14 is where we're going to start. You've heard this verse before, these verses before. I want you to realize we're talking about association. There's three words that we're talking about. Tonight is just association. 2 weeks ago, I believe we preached on identity, and we preached on influence. And now we're going to preach about association. Identity is what people, when they look at you, who do you identify with? When they look at you, do they see Jesus or do they see the lost world around you? Who do you identify it with? I didn't say identify as, all right? I said identify with. That's a whole new concept that you can just identify as whoever you want to be. And yeah, sure, we got to treat you like you're that person. No, it's who do you identify with? Who do you hang out with? You become like the people that you are around. Then we preached a message about influence and how you be careful who you're around because those people will influence you. The music you listen to will influence you. The movies you watch will influence you. The friends you have, they will influence you. So identity, influence, and now tonight, association. A little bit of a shorter message tonight. I want you to get this. I will go through this fairly quickly, but I want you to understand the importance of association. We'll come back. We'll give more examples on this as we go forward in this series. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. The Bible says this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now there's more to this in verse 17. I want you to see verses 17 and verse 18, the very end of this chapter. Wherefore? When there's a wherefore, you got to look why it's therefore. All right? Maybe that's a way to remember that. I'm not sure. But because of what was said before, look at the verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now understand this. Who are we supposed to come out from? Is it a them or is it a it? In this case, it's a them. Come out from among them. We're talking about association. Yes, the Bible teaches about being separate from sin and being separate from evil things. But I want you to understand tonight, the Bible also teaches the importance of not associating with sinful or worldly or wicked, however you want to call it, people, relationships, people who are going to influence you, people who would have a yoke, fellowship, communion, concord, part or agreement with you. Now look at verse 18. He said, come out from among them, be ye separate. Verse 18, and he says, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God used six descriptive terms to define separation. Now, I'm going to go through those here this evening because I want you to understand the importance of association. When we're talking about association, let me give you this example. If you were fishing and you were fishing out in the ocean, has anybody ever been deep sea fishing? I've never done that, but it looks fun, except if you get seasick, right? If you get seasick, it may not be the thing for you. Kind of like parachuting. If first you don't succeed, skydiving is not for you, all right? If you go deep sea fishing and you want to, or even in a lake, you want to attract fish to your boat, you do something that's called chumming, right? You cut up pieces of fish and you put them in a bucket with holes in it, and you kind of drag it behind your boat so that you're kind of making this smell or taste in the water, however fish do it. And so they know, they associate that smell, that taste with food, so now they're going to come, and hopefully you're going to catch them on your hook. What is association? Well, you use that word chum. It's interesting. The word chum is used for this bait that you kind of drag along your boat. But back before I was born, I don't know how long before I was born because I wasn't around yet, but before I was born, we've been reading the Hardy Boys books, all right? Those were written in the 40s, 50s, something like that. Well, the word for friend was chum. Isn't that interesting? The people that you hang around with, your chums. The Hardy Boys would talk to each other and say, hey, go call your chum, all right? And we don't use the word chum a whole lot anymore. You could say that you're chumming around with people. What's that mean? You're associating with them. What's interesting to me is that your chums, who are friends, could be just like that chum that's in the water. The people you associate with could be the thing that brings you to the hook that will destroy you. Association. Association is people that you hang around. Association is the people that you have partnerships with. And so God uses these six descriptive terms to define separation. The first one is the word yoke. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Now, a yoke was actually a physical device that would hold two oxen together, two horses together, two mules together, and it would hold them together so that they would plow and they would stay together as they were plowing. But it can also be used as something to hold people together. Now, what would be something to hold people together? Well, you can think about this, maybe a partnership, a business partnership maybe, or a contract. A marriage would hold people together. This yoke is something that holds people together. Then God says, be ye not unequally yoked together with, then he gives us a word, unbelievers. Who are we not supposed to have something that holds us together with? Unbelievers. So we are not supposed to have this partnership, contract, marriage, whatever this is, this thing that holds us together with unbelievers. Maybe you could say it this way. If you can't walk away anytime you want, it's a yoke. Let me give you just an example here. There's a trend among independent Baptist churches like ours to join the Southern Baptist Convention. It's a trend that it's pretty popular right now. And the reason for it is the opportunity to get more financing or maybe to get more property. So that really is a trend, not just in a few churches, but actually in a lot of churches. I received a letter from Pastor Chapel just this last week. And he's the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. We're going out to the graduation this week at West Coast Baptist College. And in that letter, it mentioned that so many young men are starting churches or taking churches in and then taking those churches back into the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, independent Baptist churches left the Southern Baptist Convention, or many of them got kicked out of the Southern Baptist Convention because we believed the Bible to be literal and in some areas that we just weren't going to compromise on, but the Southern Baptist Convention was going the wrong direction. So many independent Baptist churches left that. Many, what are they doing? They're going back and they're becoming a part of a convention. And here's what they're doing. They're bringing a yoke upon themselves and they are partnering with, they're contracting with, and not in this case, not with unbelievers, but here's an example. Of a contract that holds you together. Now, you be careful who it is that you're being bound together with. What yokes are you bringing upon yourself? The Bible says very clearly, be not unequally yoked together with, and it says, first of all, unbelievers. Then it says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What's fellowship? If a yoke is something that holds people together, like a partnership, contract, something like that, what is fellowship? Well, fellowship is a mutual association of people on equal and friendly terms. A mutual association of people. We get together. You see the word association in there. That's what we're talking about tonight. Of persons on equal and friendly terms. I guess you could call it this. We're friendships. It says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And God's just asking a question. If there's righteousness here and there's unrighteousness here, can they be friends? Are they going to be good friends? No, they're not going to be able to get along because the very definition of fellowship, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, they're not going to be able to do that. Proverbs 22:24, the Bible says this, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. I want to be careful not to have fellowship with unrighteousness if I'm trying to live a righteous life. God commands us to avoid fellowship with unrighteousness. So you've got a yoke, you've got fellowship, and then you've got this word communion. And what communion hath light with darkness? What's communion? I looked this up. You can use it in different ways. Whenever we take the Lord's Supper, we call that communion. The definition of communion would be a relationship of giving and receiving. A relationship of giving and receiving. So this is influencing and being influenced by. And God says, what communion hath light with darkness? How well do light and dark play together? They don't. Light and dark don't work together very well. And the Bible says, listen, you're not supposed to have that kind of relationship with unrighteousness. Then he uses the word concord. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Concord would be an agreement between people, a harmony of interests or opinions and viewpoints. We believe the same things. We're going the same directions. We've got the same opinions. We've got the same viewpoints. You know what I'm talking about. You ever gotten together with your extended family for a meal and somebody brings up politics, right? And you're not, there's not concord there, right? We were just married not very long. And my parents went out to visit with the Reed family, our in-laws. We all went down to Waco, Texas, and all the Reed clan came. Brother Reed has six brothers and sisters, and the house was full of people. Now, these are very conservative people. I mean, they wear Make America Great Again hats in public. I mean, these are very, very conservative people. And we're all eating Thanksgiving dinner, and I'm not saying it's wrong to be very conservative people. I just want you to understand who they are, all right? We're eating Thanksgiving dinner, and Brother Reed started this rumor. You know how he can be a rascal sometimes? Well, he started this rumor. My parents were in the other room there with the dining room table, and Brother Reed started this rumor. He went into the kitchen where a couple of the ladies were doing dishes, and he said something like, because they were talking politics. They were talking about, I don't remember who was president at the time. It was it Bush? Was it President Bush was the president at the time? And they're talking all about President Bush. And, you know, he had a ranch there in Crawford, Texas, which is not far from Waco. And they're talking about that and how awesome it is to have a conservative president. And Brother Reed went in there and started this whispering thing. And he said, you guys know that the Reyeses, they're really liberal. I mean, they're liberal people. They're politically very liberal people. And he started telling people that. So the whispering started, you know how that goes. And one by one, each one of these sisters got up from talking at the table and just quietly slipped in because they just felt the call to go help wash dishes all of a sudden. You know, there wasn't concord there at the time. There was this, and then finally he just started laughing and we all figured out that he was just making it up, you know, making up the story. Concord. Harmony of interests, opinions, and viewpoints. We're going the same direction. And God says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Whenever somebody would describe a wicked person in the Bible, a lot of times they would say, these are sons of Belial, wicked people. So when you see the word Belial there, we're talking about wickedness or wicked people. God commands us to avoid concord with wicked people. Then you got the word part, or what part? Verse 15, hath he that believeth with an infidel. What does a part mean? That'd be a relationship based on an investment. If you own stock in Apple, you wish you would have bought it about 15 years ago probably. But if you own, I don't even, were they around 15 years ago? I don't know if they were. Okay, if they made the Mac. Okay, I remember that. All right, if you own stock in Apple, you own part of Apple. You have a relationship with the company based on owning part of it, based on an investment. And God says, have no part, or he asks the question actually, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's a participating in this relationship, owning part of a company. And God commands us to avoid having part with an infidel or an unbeliever. We don't use the word infidel so much. There used to be clubs, and there probably still are, it's not as common anymore, called infidel clubs. What were they? Basically, a group of atheists that would get together. These atheists would get together. I believe Hudson Taylor was part of an infidel club, if I remember my story right. And then he heard one of his friends as he died during the night in the hotel room next to him. And after that, something led him to trusting Jesus Christ as a Savior. But he was an infidel. He was one that said, I don't believe that there is a God. I am an unbeliever. God commands us to avoid having part or a relationship based on this investment, this part with an unbeliever. You got the word agreement, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? That's a really good question. Agreement would be concord. We talked about that, harmony or conformity. You could say it this way, worshiping together. You can't worship together with someone who's worshiping anything that is in opposition to God. If I don't remember which one of my kids, you remind me after church, we were talking about that. Maybe it was Josh. We were talking about this, how hard it is whenever two people get married that have different belief systems. You get a Catholic marries a Baptist, you're going to have some challenges. One of them is going to have to compromise. Or both of them do, and they just say, let's just forget this whole religion thing. Let's just pretend like God doesn't exist. Or a man will say, well, I was raised Baptist, but okay, I'll become a Catholic so that I can marry you in your church or whatever it is. And somebody's going to have to compromise. And then when you get kids that come along, you're going to have to decide, are we going to raise them Catholic or are we going to raise them Baptist? Let's go right in the middle, raise them Protestant. What are you going to do? There's going to be division. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be challenges there. You can't worship together with someone who's worshiping anything that's in opposition to God. You can't pray in harmony with someone who's praying to a different God. If you and a Muslim person were in the same room, could you pray to the same God? You know you can't. You know you can't do that. Could you have harmony together? Now, you could still treat that person with kindness and love and respect, and you ought to do that. I just read through a missionary letter today. Bunahas, I believe he's in Cambodia or Thailand, one of those two places. He had a story today about two people that were reached by missionaries who used to be followers of Islam, but now they're Christians and they're serving the Lord. What an awesome thing that is. Now he can have fellowship with them. But if they're praying to Allah and I'm praying to Jesus Christ, we can't have fellowship. We're not going to be able to have a prayer meeting together. I can't say, here, you pray for these things to your God. I'll pray for these things to my God. Let's get together and pray. You can't do that. So we can't worship together. So you've got this question that God asks, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? When I go to a Catholic funeral, and I do sometimes to encourage the family and to support a family, I don't kneel and pray with everybody else. Why? They're praying to a different God. And if you wonder, just look around at the idols and you'll find out who they're praying to. And very specifically, the Bible says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God commands us to avoid the relationships with people who worship idols. It's almost if God was challenging us to play the matching game to teach us about association. Do you remember the matching game? Now, you can probably read through this. I didn't intend for that. This is because we buy really cheap paper to save on money, all right? But we've got the matching game here. How many of you remember the matching game? You're supposed to find two things that are the same, all right? So if I was to play the matching game and I pulled up this one, it says believers. And I'm looking for something else that matches with believers, and I pull up this one, and it says unbelievers, all right? So God is asking, do these go together? Do believers and unbelievers go together? No, this does not match. We're basically like on a Sesame Street level right here, aren't we? Do these go together? No. We know these don't go together. All right, so I'm going to play this game a little bit more. Let's go over here. Alex, temple of idols for 200. All right, so you got temples of idols, and you got temples of God, or temple of God. Do these go together? No. You see what God's doing here. He's asking questions. You know the answer to the questions, and he's saying, come out from among them and be ye separate. Association is huge. All right, let's play the game just a little bit more because I want to make sure you get it. I think our kids are even getting it. Here's Belial. Remember, Belial, wickedness, wicked people representing the devil maybe there. And then you've got Christ. Those two go together. Is that a match? Do we keep those or put them back? Put them back. Those don't match. Belial and Christ, they don't go together. What communion do they have together? Are we supposed to associate? Do you associate those two together? No, you can't. They don't go together, but as Christians, we try, don't we? Okay, how about this one? You've got light, and you've got light. No, darkness. Do those go together? No, they don't go together. Light and darkness don't match. They don't fit. As a Christian, the light of the world, right, with God inside of me, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I don't belong around darkness. I don't belong around people who are pushing darkness, talking about darkness, sharing darkness on their Facebook or whatever account that they've got. They don't fit. We should not associate. All right? You've got righteousness, and you've got, I bet you can guess, unrighteousness. Now, just the very words, you know those don't go together. They're so not righteous, they're unrighteous. It's the opposite of righteous. Okay, so I'm kind of being silly here to prove my point. You are the temple of God. You are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, the Bible says. You have been made righteous. Why do we spend so much time here? We don't belong here. We don't belong with the unrighteous. All right, and then there's one more. We've got infidel and we've got believers. Infidels and believers. Do those go together? They don't go together. Either you believe in God or you don't believe in God. But you can't be, I kind of believe in God. I believe in God, kind of like our watering system, Monday, Tuesday, and you know, Monday, Thursday, and Friday, and not on Saturdays and Sundays and a couple days in between. No, it's got to be, I believe in God or I don't believe in God. And you see that, you see how God asks these questions, and he goes through, and he asks, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And then he goes on, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. God lives in you. We don't belong around the darkness and the infidels and the unbelievers and the unrighteousness, temples of idols. That's not where we belong. God knew the answer should be obvious. And that's why he asked it as a question, is saying it as a command. Then, I'm getting right down to the end of this. Here's the lesson. I want you to get this. After asking the obvious questions about whether these things go together, God gave a straightforward command in verse number 17. Here's the command. He asks the question. He proves his point. Here's the command. Based on what you know to be right, you know you're not supposed to be with these things. You know you shouldn't have association with these. Based on that, verse 17, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Here's the command. Come out. Be separate, touch not. What is it that we're supposed to come out of, be separate, and touch not? Is God talking about things here? Is he talking about stuff? Is he talking about wicked things that we're supposed to stay away from? And we ought to stay away from wicked things. I believe it was David said, I will set no unclean thing or wicked thing before mine eyes. I forget the exact word there. We're not supposed to have those things, but we're not talking about stuff. We're not talking about lottery tickets. We're not talking about bad things here. No, God's talking about relationships. God made it very clear that he expects us to avoid association with worldly people. Now, understand this. These are not preference issues. I know a lot of times as Christians we say, well, that's a conviction for him, but it's just a preference thing for me. This is not a preference issue. The verse, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient, does not apply to these commands to avoid worldly associations. This is for all of us. Come out from among them and be ye separate. This is black and white. Now, some of the issues you're going to have to discern, do I come out from and be separate from them? Maybe those aren't so black and white. But the fact that we are supposed to come out from them and be separate from them and not associate with wicked things and wicked people and these wicked relationships, that is very clear. It's about right and wrong. And as we separate ourselves from worldly relationships, and we separate ourselves to the Lord, this is an amazing truth, and I want you to get it. We enter into a new level of relationship with God. This is awesome. If you've been struggling on or with this, do I live a separated life, or is it worth living a separated life? Is it worth losing friends over this? Is it worth maybe my family looking at me and saying, you're just nuts. You're a fanatic. Is it worth it? Look at the end of verse 17. Well, look at all verse 17. I want to read that again. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And look what he says. And I will receive you. Look at verse 18. And will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, this is an amazing thing. Let me explain it. There's a closeness of relationship with God that you can enjoy when you separate yourself from worldly associations. This doesn't mean you get saved. This doesn't mean if you come out from among them and be ye separate, then I will be your father like as in I will save you. God doesn't say you have to get better before you get saved. This is about a closeness of relationship. You come to God just like you are. You come to God as a sinful person. You just trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. He saves you. You don't have to clean yourself before you get saved. He'll take care of cleaning you when you get saved. You can't clean yourself before you get saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit living in you. But he says, you come to me and you get saved. And then, this is what we're talking about. As a Christian, come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Then he says, I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. This closeness of relationship Let me illustrate this for you, and you're going to realize, wow, you're right. You're right. Think about the prodigal son for a minute. The prodigal son never stopped being his father's son. When he left, he broke his father's heart. He took half of his father's inheritance. He ruined his life. He ruined his testimony, but he never stopped being his father's son. But when he associated with the world, he lost the close fellowship with his father. Do you see the difference? He was still his father's son. When the prodigal son came back to his father, he regained the close relationship that he had lost. But the father had never stopped being a father. He still loved his wayward son. He never stopped looking for his son to return. He even accepted his son unconditionally as soon as his son returned. But listen to this. This is so important for you to get. He couldn't show his son the love and acceptance that he wanted to show him because his son wasn't close enough to receive it. Oh, if you'll get that, it'll change the way you live. God wanted to show. He wanted to hold his son. He wanted to accept his son. He'd been planning that party for his son to return. He said, as soon as he saw him, kill the fatted calf. It takes a while to make a calf fat, all right? I don't know how long he'd been preparing this party. He'd been looking forward to the day when his son would come back, but he never stopped being a father to his son. He couldn't show his son the love that he wanted to show him because his son wasn't there. He loved his son, but he couldn't show him. When the prodigal came back home, the father was able to be a father to his son again. Now, listen to this verse. He never stopped being a father, but now he could be a father to his son. I hope you understand just the different intonation there. He's always the boy's dad. He didn't disown his son. His son was always his son. But now when his son came back, the thought is this, now I can show him I'm his father. Now I can be what a father is supposed to be to my son because now my son is back. And I will receive you and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And a lot of us as Christians, we're missing out on a close relationship with God because we want to be with the world. And when we go away from God and we go close to the world, we have a tough time having that close relationship with God. And God wants to be a father to us. When the prodigal son was away from his dad, when the prodigal son needed something, could he ask his dad, Dad, I need something because I ran out of money. I need something. Could he ask it? No, he couldn't ask his dad. He's too far away. But once he came back to close fellowship with his dad, now he could ask his dad something. And a lot of times we're struggling. We don't get our prayers answered and we're struggling spiritually because we're far away from God. If we would come close to God, then we would be close enough to him. And we leave these things of the world behind and we stop associating with these wicked things of the world. We come back close to God. Now I can have my prayers answered. He said, I will be a father unto you. I will do what a father is supposed to do for his son. If you're associating closely with worldly people, you're missing out on a close relationship with God, and it's your choice. And I want you to consider this very seriously, because some of us are trying to make this decision. Am I going to associate closely with sinful people in this world, people that are dragging me down, people that listen to music with all these cuss words in it, and people that are doing drugs, and people that are going the wrong direction, and all kinds of these wicked things that they do? Do I want to associate with them, or do I want to associate with God? Do I want to have a close relationship with God, or am I going to have a close relationship with these people? And really, it is that choice. That is the choice that we're talking about. Do I want a close relationship with God? Do I want God to treat me as a father would treat his son? Do I want him to be a father unto me? God said that we must first come out from among them, then he would be a father unto us. He's always your father if you're saved. But he can't treat you like a father wants to treat you unless you leave the association of worldly relationships and get close to him. James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. If you associate with God, he'll associate with you. In the very same verse, notice the words that have to do with separation. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And then he says this, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I'm finishing and I'm done. Who do you associate with? Believers or unbelievers? You're here on a Sunday night. That speaks volumes for who you want to associate with. That's a great thing. Do you associate with righteousness or unrighteousness? Do you associate with light or with darkness? Think about this last week, the things you watched, the things you listened to, was that light or was that darkness? Do you associate with Christ or Belial or wicked people? Do you associate with believers or infidels? Who are your close friends? Do you associate with the temple of God or the temple of idols? Let me just bring this down to the bottom level and we'll walk out the door of the elevator. You ready? Who does your Netflix account say you associate with? That'll tell you. Look at the movies that you've watched on Netflix recently and it'll tell you, do I associate with righteousness or unrighteousness, believers or unbelievers, light or darkness? Who I associate with? Who does your Facebook account say you associate with? Who does your internet browsing history say you associate with? Who does your YouTube suggested videos say you associate with? When you watch something on YouTube, it'll give you more like what you just watched. And what's it giving you? That's who you associate with. Listen, God knows your heart. Who does God say that you associate with? I want to challenge you. This is so important. This is so important. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you. I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you. What a thought that is. God is always your father if you're saved. But he wants to treat you like a father. But he can do that whenever you're associating with all these things we've been talking about. Would you draw nigh to God? Would you come close to God so he can treat you like a father ought to treat his son and his daughter? Father, I pray that you would use this message tonight. I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, I believe that you are going to put some thoughts in people's hearts. You're going to help us to understand some of those things that we shouldn't be associating with. Maybe some of those people we shouldn't be associating with. Some relationships that we have that are very easily described as unrighteous or as darkness or as unbelievers. Lord, I pray that you would help us to draw close to you. You want to be a father unto us, not just in the sense of we're saved, but you want to treat us like a father would treat his son and treat his daughter. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand this very important truth. And I pray that you'd help us to get some things right tonight.